You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
So we've been on this incredible topic called enemies of one. Somebody say it with me. Enemies of one. Enemies of one. And that comes basically from the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, 21. And he said, I pray that they will all be one just as you and I are one. And that's really the heart of Jesus. That's the prayer of Jesus for his church, for us as brothers and sisters in Christ, is for us to be in unity, for us to be one, not just a loose affiliation, not just a group that calls themselves some type of collective, but that we actually experience oneness and unity, and we work together and we help one another to achieve the purpose that God has placed in our hearts. And so I believe that's still the prayer that Jesus is praying for us today. So what are the enemies of one? We talked about over the last couple of weeks when love grows cold. We talked about when pride and rebellion slip in. We talked about when there's words that we're using that cut. But today I want to talk to you about a particular enemy of one, and it's called reckless hurt. Look at somebody and say, reckless hurt. Reckless hurt. What does that mean? Well, we know reckless is defined as without thinking or caring about the consequences of an action. And hurt, we're pretty familiar with that, whether we want to admit it or not, whether we've been impacted by big hurts, small hurts, medium size hurts in our lives. We've all gone through something. As a teenager, over the period of four years, we moved three major times. And this may not be the most traumatic story that you've heard in your life, but we moved hundreds of miles, and we moved from one state to another state to another state, and had to part ways with friends, and had to part ways with family, deal with distance with our family, and changing schools several times. And I could have allowed that pain to affect my life negatively, but I chose to allow myself to heal. And whether we go through small things or medium things or large things, we have to allow ourselves to heal. That's the question. Do we allow that hurt to define us, or do we allow God to define us with his healing? We've all been hurt. Everybody in this room has been hurt. But the question is not if you've been hurt. The question is what you've done with that hurt, how you've resolved it, if you've resolved it, what needs to happen so that it can be resolved. And so there's no one in this room that's not touched by some type of loss, some type of heartache, some type of betrayal. And while there's no two stories that are alike, we all go through things. Some people go through more, other people go through less, but we all go through things that are very real and very personal and very painful to us. Now, I can't compare my pain to your pain, and you can't compare your pain to someone else's pain in the room. And the point is not to compare your pain. The point is how you resolve your pain. Because unresolved hurts cause problems. It causes problems in your life. So the question is, what have you done with your pain? Have you hidden it away? Have you stashed it away? Do you still cry at night? Or do you resolve it by lashing out? Have you been nursing a hurt for so long that it feels like a part of yourself? And maybe that hurt comes out every time a certain topic is brought up. It's like that topic brings the hurt to the surface. And when that topic comes up, it's like, hey, can unforgiveness come to out and play? Can bitterness come out and play? And it impacts us in that way. What have you done with your pain? Have you stashed it away? Have you caged it up like some wild animal that you don't want to get loose and hurt anybody, but you know eventually is actually going to get loose and in fact hurt somebody? Can I tell you that God does not want you living with the hurt of your past? Hurt should not be your roommate. Hurt should not be your life partner. I don't care what movies tell you, what romantic narrative that they tell you, that hurt is something that you should hold on to, and it's something special. God didn't intend you to live like that. God didn't intend us to live like that. God wants us to let that hurt go. God wants to help us heal. God wants to help us resolve. God wants to, you know, God has all these ways of bringing healing into our life. And some people I see, they never give themselves permission to grieve. And so they go on for years carrying that same pain, year after year after year. My dad would tell this story because he did a lot of work with people that were grieving. And he said one day he was ministering and this woman came forward and she asked for prayer and she was just crying, just bitterly sobbing and just totally broken. And he said, well, what happened? She said, well, I lost my husband and my son in an automobile accident. And she's just weeping. And dad said, well, when did this happen? And she said, 30 years ago. You see, if we don't resolve hurts, we carry those same hurts with us. And they impact and they affect our lives. And we can only begin to deal with something when we begin to admit that we have something broken in our life. When we begin to recognize, this is something I need to fix. This is somewhere I need to heal. And God specifically wants to mend the brokenhearted. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. It absolutely breaks my heart as a pastor to hear precious people make statements like, I'm going to carry this hurt with me. I'm going to have this void for the rest of my life. Can I tell you today that God has better for you? The scripture tells us that he wants to completely heal you. He wants to completely and permanently heal you of every pain that you've suffered. And the why it's important for us to get healed is because if we walk around hurt and we stay hurt over a long period of time, it begins to become an open door for the enemy. Has anybody ever looked at somebody and you're like, man, that person is under a lot of spiritual oppression. There's spiritual, negative spiritual things going on around that person. And you wonder, how in the world did they get that way? A lot of times it has to do with emotions. The emotions that we allow and the emotions that we sustain in our lives. When we don't allow the Lord to heal us, we leave an open door that the enemy can walk through. Unresolved hurts are open doors. When we don't acknowledge our hurts and begin the healing process, it becomes an open door in our lives. And the Bible says that the enemy goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so the enemy is always on the prowl, always on the lookout, always on the seeking for an opportunity to gain entry into our lives. So if we sustain an emotion long enough, it begins to become an open door for a spirit of that like to enter into our lives. And for the enemy to end in and begin to kill, to steal, to destroy, to devour things in our lives. When we're angry and we sustain the emotion of anger, it becomes an open door for spirits of anger to come in our lives. When we're sad and we sustain an emotion of sadness over time, it becomes an open door for a spirit of sadness to enter in. And what is interesting about the way that spirits and the way the enemy works is he always travels in groups. It's never just one single thing to try to mess with you. The enemy will always send several things to try to. So maybe you only invited the spirit of sadness into your life, but the spirit of sadness brings the spirit of depression. And maybe the spirit of depression brings the spirit of suicide. And all of a sudden you don't know why you're getting these type of thoughts pop up in your mind that you never used to get before. Why? It's because unresolved hurts leave open doors. Unresolved emotions will leave your house unlocked with a big welcome mat out saying, welcome. Turn to somebody and say, shut the door. We have to shut the door on the enemy. And I get an opportunity to see many types of decisions that people make, but two main type of decisions I was contemplating this week, and that is godly decisions and emotional decisions. You know, how many people here have ever made an emotional decision in your life? All right, you just get your hand up. You know it's true. Everybody in this room has made an emotional decision. That's not even on the table, okay? If you got your, yeah, some people have their hands and their feet up in the air right now. Because you know it's true. It's not about if you've made an emotional decision. The journey that we're on is to make less and less emotional decisions and more godly decisions in our lives. Emotional decisions. How do the decisions that we make strengthen our unity and other decisions that we make threaten it? How does unresolved hurt affect our unity? Because God wants us to work together. God wants us to help one another. How do the pains from our past, when not healed, affect our relationships? We begin to make decisions based on hurt. Our hurt begins to influence our decision making. And now we're looking through the lens of hurt to make a decision. I can't see you clearly when I'm looking through hurt. You can't see me clearly when you're looking through hurt. So hurt impedes our viewpoints. And sometimes we even mean well. And we're trying to do the right thing, live a good Christian life, but we're still bleeding. And we're bleeding on people. And so that little hurt keeps coming through. And hurts will interfere with your life. Hurts will interfere with your ministry, your family, your calling, your destiny, your unity. Hurts just find a way to kind of infiltrate different areas. And you have to live your life through the lens of hurt. A hurt person is like that precious family animal that you raised and you fed and you sheltered. And then they get hurt and they're out in the street and they snap at you. They snap at you. It doesn't make sense. There's no reason for it, but they're snapping at you. That's what we do when we're hurt. We snap at the people that we love. We snap at the people that God has put in our lives. We snap at those precious relationships. We snap at our family. We snap at the people that are close to us. Come on, married people. You snap at your spouse. Sometimes the hardest. When there's hurts that we don't resolve. God wants us to heal. Say it with me. God wants us to heal. This is what God wants. God wants to heal us so we can live the life that Jesus purchased for us. You see, we're not able to take full advantage of what Jesus has done for us when we are hurt. There are some things that we have to say, God, I'm going to let you heal me so that I can be able to take full advantage of what God has done in my life. And God wants to pull off the covers of the enemy's strategy to wreck your life through hurt. He wants to heal us so that we can be unified. He wants to heal us and get every hurt out of the way. We can't possess the things that God has called us to do. We can't do the things God has called us to do with hurt in the way. You can be a normal, level-headed, mature person in all these topics. And then one area that's hurt, it comes up and all the baggage comes out. And hurt begins to push people away. Hurt begins to cause disagreements. Hurt begins to cause disrespect. Hurt makes big messes that are difficult to clean up. Hurt is an enemy of one. It's an enemy of oneness. Because if the enemy can put hurt in your life, he can cause you to respond the wrong way towards those that God has placed in your life. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines, listen to this, the course of your life. So I want to suggest you today that if you're hurt, if you've got some type of hurt in your life, that it is affecting the course of your life. It is affecting the trajectory and where you're going in your life when you have hurt that is unresolved. You see, our heart is this well, and we have to keep our well healthy. We have to keep our well pure so that we stay on the right course that God has for us. The health of our well determines the course of our life. The health of our heart determines the course of our life. And the heart determines how far we can even go together. So important. So I want us to allow God to touch our hearts today. Will you stand with me? I want us to allow God to touch our hearts today. This is the thing that I really feel God put on my spirit that's so very important for us as believers. God wants us to heal. Not just the surface areas that everybody knows about. Not just the things that are obvious. But sometimes it's the things that we have way back, hidden in our life, put on some type of shelf. We've got it in some type of place where we think it won't hurt anybody anymore. God wants to heal that. If I've heard it once, I've heard it a bunch of times. I need to be strong for people around you. God doesn't need you to be strong. God needs you to be healed. The strongest person is the person that's healed. And so there's such beauty in what God wants to do with healing. In a moment, I want to open up the altar today. And I want to give the opportunity for you to just come down. Nobody's going to lay hands on you, but just to kneel down and say, God, I give this to you. I give this pain. I give this hurt to you. God, I don't want to carry this anymore. God, heal me. And I really believe God is going to pour out his healing oil. In the first service, God poured out his spirit so powerfully. I want to tell you, you don't have to have hurt as your roommate. You don't have to have it as your life partner. We serve a God that mends the brokenhearted. So as they sing this song, I just want to invite you, if that's you, if you're feeling, maybe I need to lay something down, or I definitely need to lay something down, come down to the altar. Let God take the pain. Let God take the hurt, and let God bring healing. In Jesus' name.
Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake.
Can I tell you that what God can do in one moment is greater than years of grief counseling? What God can do in one moment in his presence is greater than all the counseling in the world. Not that there's not a place for that. But God can do so much more in one moment in his presence. If you give yourself permission, I want you to give yourself permission to heal. Give yourself permission to grieve if you need to grieve. Give yourself permission to lay down that hurt. You don't have to carry it anymore. You don't have to hold on to it anymore. At the altar of God, you can lay it down. The Bible says you can cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. He cares for you and me. He doesn't want us to have to hurt. The Bible says in the book of Revelations that he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Come on.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.